information on delay and all that stuff. I think that's what we should do. However,
without the spill, you mean on delay?
Yeah, that's regardless of the spill test. Okay. Well, I mean, if we're going to do a spill test, it should be a block.
What do you think, Scott?
A block designed to
block design spill test, but not the entire duration of the passing season.
You don't have enough blocks. You know what you're going to get. That's what I see.
Yeah. What's the block going to tell you?
But well, you need replicates, and you
need to do it over a long term.
Really, this comes down to you guys. I mean, what do you need to see? Because everybody in this room is going to agree that you can have too many fish in a ladder. At least every biologist would.
But at what number?
Yeah, well, that's true. There is. I don't think it's a number that's unreasonable or that can't happen. So what I'm saying is, why don't we test a short duration spill test to shift with a goal of moving, say, 25 to 30% of the fish from the east ladder to the north ladder.
Are you saying moving or try to get 25-30% at the...
Moving.
So an additional...
Redistributing from the east ladder, which we now have 94% of our fish passing, let's try to get another 25% of the entire project passage to go through about 25-30% through the north ladder. That would be a goal that I'd like to see. And I think we have to, we don't have time, or you're not probably going to have the spill in order to do a whole stepped up, stepped down type sort of arrangement. So I think we work model to come up with a...
Pick a volume.
With a volume that we think will work. And basically, the minimum amount it takes to get flow down to the area those fish are at, which is along the shoreline, probably below the nav lock or in that area. So, in the that way. So I think using the model to define the limit, the lower limit of spill that we think would work, and then testing that for whatever you give us, a number of days in September, and then using that, putting that into the bank as a tool that we can use if we see a situation. Then later, work through this what's too many question, because I don't want to see us argue all the way through October and totally miss the chance to do this test when we have large numbers of fish in the system, which we anticipate this year. So I'd like to see us kind of table the concern. But I mean, if you guys won't give us any spill unless we have a rated tracking study to look at it, then okay, we're stuck. But if you're willing to set that how many is too many aside for now, and just look at a test to develop a tool that we could use if when we agree we have too many fish, I'd like to just see us do that. And that's a 5-day test, maybe, of some amount of spill yet to be determined, but less than 30 and more than 10 probably, or 10 or more. So that's your limit. The days that you would give that to us, I mean, I think you need enough days to be able to see if we made a difference. But I'm looking for a big difference. I'm not looking for, oh, well, we moved 10 fish. Big difference. Big difference. I'm looking for a big difference. I'm looking for getting, 25-30% of those fish shifted. So, if we don't see that, then, and we're spilling what we think is enough water, then this may just be...
How much runtime do we need to make a block test valid?
Well,
that's a lot.
It's a number of replicates.
Yeah, that's...
Tags.
Number of replicates, the number of fish in each replicate, and that's a specific thing. It's going to be more than...
I don't see us doing, I mean, we can do on and off, on and off, on and off, but the other thing, too, is that if we have a lot of fish in that ladder, I'd rather not be hitting them with an off.
I mean,
at all.
I think Gary's main, the main concern here is redistribution. You know, the problem with radio tags is we have temperature criteria at the AFF.
Right.
What we had last year, if we run into that situation again this year, we won't get any Chinook out there. Unless we relax the temperature criteria, which I hear there's some reluctance to do. And
200 fish, 300 fish, I don't think that, given that, if you look at it, if it's a 200 fish sample, that's maybe 5 fish a day might approach the project over the duration of the test that they're talking about doing. At the end of the day, we're not going to be able to say anything.
Right.
How many times, going all the way back to Ted Gorn's work, how many times is it, there's no significant
effect.
No effect. Even though there may have been one. Yeah.
And what are we taking away from the other study that we already had in the works? Mm-hmm. Are we watering it down to
Yes. Yeah. The thing about the early steelhead component that we were going to rob from is the percentages that overwinter for the overwinter objectives. You know, we're pretty small, you know, compared to the later season ones. So.
And we're doing, I mean, we're throwing potentially some spill at that test after our discussion yesterday, and I don't want to weaken that whole effort of figuring out that overwintering. And you've heard Oregon's plea for help on that, too. So I think I'm at a point now where I'd rather not change the adult study at all, stick with the steelhead that we were going to do, not do Chinook, because I think there's a huge danger of that study just telling us something that isn't.
Yeah, so, I agree.
And letting the discussion of how many fish is too many, kind of leave that, I mean, we will be working on that, but I don't know that we're going to have that resolved by 1 September. But I would like to see us at least do a test. So that means the change form really isn't a change form, because we're not changing anything. We're just going to do a test. And it's going to be a test to see what works. So, and, you know, the duration of that is something that we can work out, and the trigger that starts is something we can work out later. But I'd like to know just is whatever it turns out to be, 15K, 10K, 20K, is that going to be enough to actually move enough fish to actually relieve any, you know, any crowding that we happen to see in the ladder? So that's kind of a...
Well, that's where we're going to look at the Nell's model in Vicksburg.
Right. That's what I boiled this down to. That's what I boiled this down to. So to avoid the big food fight over the trigger, because now Ed Meyer has been working on a model that, and he's in Wisconsin this week, so he couldn't be here, but he has been working on a model that allows you to input things like water temperature, size of particular species of fish, numbers of particular species of fish. He's got the size of the ladder. Also, pools, you know, how big is the area that we're talking about? Is it this pool, that pool, the entire ladder, that sort of thing? So we can do some what-ifs on that. And there is quite a bit of literature available on fish crowding. You know, Clay is one of them. I saw it sitting there somewhere. Yeah. Bell. And, you know, those are the main ones. I don't have many other sources. But that they do talk about how those ladders were designed. And I took off on vacation and didn't finish really getting into that part of it yet. But
so what does Clay say that too many fish in a ladder?
I was going to do it Monday, Tuesday, and I was stuck in jury duty.
Oh. Now, there's nothing in there.
Did you get to read?
It doesn't say exactly. I mean, I've read through it, and it's there's nothing in there that says the magic number.
For my bell.
Well, yeah, and what he felt, you know, was that the ladders at Bonneville and the Dalles were probably oversized because they really didn't know what they were going to get into. But that's looking at it from his perspective, you know, back in the day that they were doing that. You know, we got a lot of fish today. So.
Has anybody looked at last year's data and when the fish seemed to start to delaying in the East Ladder during that big run?
Well, we never documented a delay in the East Ladder.
I mean, it's pandemonium.
Man.
There was a handful of days that were over 25,000.
Yeah. Well, no, that might not be enough. That might not trigger it. You know, I'm thinking it's going to be higher than we thought.
It was 35,000 total fish. I mean, so that's what we, reluctantly, sure, we want to be careful about what we identify as the trigger.
Right, I agree. Yeah. And it's going to be, I think, high. It's going to be pretty high. So the odds of this happening, you know, a lot is probably pretty minimal. We'd like it to happen a lot, but I don't know that it's going to, given what will we end up with that. But I don't see us ending up, it's not going to be 25,000. It's probably going to be more than that per day. So, and you know, some of it still, I think, is up to the pressure biologist, you know, looking over the edge of the ladder and saying, oh my gosh, you know, fish are out of water. You know, they're bashing into each other and fighting at the orifices and things like that. Once we start seeing a spring or fall Chinook passage, you actually notice it over the weirs instead of through the orifices. That's starting to be an indicator of crowding, in my mind. But, you know, not up at the top of the ladder.
And even that's a total guess. Does that tell us that there's a delay? I mean, we can't tell.
It tells you that fish are making a choice to do something different than normal, which would be
it'd be interesting to stick a camera into the troubled pools.
And that was a thought I had, too. Could we get a camera in to look at these pools? Mm-hmm. looking across the pools, especially right in front of the pump station.
See how they react to the orifices and.
Well, and if they're fighting, is this a, you know, they, what's going on? I mean, are we starting to see behavior that we would normally not see in a ladder? And I think that's the sort of things that we'd be looking at is, you know, are the behaviors starting to change? Are fish doing something that they normally wouldn't do? But last year, during those high passage days, we were out there looking, and, you know, especially up at the upper end of the ladder, fish were fighting with each other, and some were, they were falling back, and, you know, there was fish with their backs out of the water. Now that to me is starting.
That was up at the exit.
That was up at the exit.
Yeah.
Well, but those are the kind of areas you got to look at.
That was 25,000+.
Yeah.
It was like 35,000 when we first noticed it.
Yeah, I think that might have been.
But at the exit, you know, fish going over the top at 158, 159, that's normal.
No.
They just don't. They don't like those surfaces.
I know it is. I know it is. But that's still.
But if you saw
the east ladder.
But if you saw it. And, you know, and all the weirs downstream.
That's what Ed was thinking. If you start seeing fish moving over the top of the weirs downstream, not there, but downstream, that's an indicator that fish are no longer buying the orifice or they aren't able to get through it because of the crowding effects. So there is something there that goes on that we, I don't know, how much of this do we want to accept before we do something?
But whether or not that's a delay or not, that's a total guess.
We consider
something different. But
I know, but what gives you know, the standard to? I mean, what's, you know, these are listed fish, some aren't.
Because is there a shad mode? There's a shad mode at the Dalles, right?
Yes, 1.3.
Is it worth and trying, you know, shad
so
mode?
When here's another thing that Ed found that, in reading through this, that as the ladders fill with fish, you alter the hydraulics in the pool to a point where it no longer acts like a normal fish ladder. And even though you're trying to maintain a 1 foot criteria, it'll bump it up from plunging flow to streaming flow.
Right.
And you just can't maintain the ladder. So you actually have so much biomass in the ladder that is changing the hydraulics.
Oh, wow.
And that's another thing where the ladder no longer acts like it's supposed to. And you get into that sort of situation. So I think those are the kind of limitations that we get into. And, you know, proving that this is a problem is going to be nearly impossible to say, yeah, it's a delay, and that delay is killing fish, and therefore we can't do it. You'll never. We're going to have to use our judgment to say, you know, this is getting to be a situation where we'd rather move some of these fish out of the way, just the safety concern. I mean, I'll flip it around and say, well, you know, what's the, you know, why do you think it's not a problem?
Well, I know we're going to need some guidelines to make those.
We will.
Calls.
You will. Sure, yeah, because you're going to be looking over the edge and going, oh, gosh, this doesn't look good. Well, maybe. Yeah.
So, like 30,000 a day, go look in the ladder and start watching and see what happens. And then
and if you're seeing a lot of fish going over the
professional
top.
Call and then do a.
Well, we'd be watching them well before that. Just
back
so
right,
the
right.
Waters.
But I mean, let's take some good, get some good information this year instead of. Like,
so
oh,
that's
shit.
You know, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. So that, rather than saying, you know, this is a change forever, this is not a change, maybe not even call it a change form, but just more of a development of a response. If we saw a problem and we can all agree that it is a problem. Yeah. So that's why I'm trying to focus this back down to like a week. If we could get a week of spill, I know that's a lot.
So it's taken last year's and expanding it a couple of days.
A lot.
Yeah, but you know, well, we did last year. I agree there's a potential for a problem, and that's why we're talking about it and trying to prime the pump ahead of time, because it is pretty darn expensive for what we're shooting to do.
I understand.
But we just have to be clear as to what it is, and that is why I keep bringing up the harvest part. And you can see these huge ups and down spikes. You know, they take 60% of fish coming by.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is we have too many fish at one time at the ladder. That's why if you can deliver them differently, that solves the problem too. So...
Well, I only wish we managed to harvest that accurately.
Yeah. You mean, like, instead of focusing on the fish the whole season, you focus on them only when they're at the highest peaks, and that way
No, but when you approach the highest peak, you do Bonneville and the Dalles pools fishing on different days, not all on the same day. Because what you do is you put your nets in, you pull them out. You put them in, you put them out. So you see spikes in the delivery of the fish to the Dalles. But if you had the nets in and out at different days or overlapping slightly, you won't see that delivered in that same
level.
You level it out, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to shave the peak off here. The problem with our ladder possibly is the peak is too high. So if you can get the fish to deliver at a lower level constantly,
I see that as another issue, though. I mean, that's one way of dealing with the problem. If we have a response for the problem, that if it develops, that's, we have something, a tool that we can use.
We have both, but I don't want the problem to show up. And so we have the accords, we have the ability to work together with other issues and cross over.
That's not going to happen between now and this September, though.
No, why?
You can actually get a, what do you think, Catherine?
Ask him.
Okay. You're going to be involved too, Catherine.
Not in what's going on in Zone 6. That kind of detail.
But I'm saying if...
Those regs are set by the tribes.
Oh, yeah, but it's like how you change that would be an interesting discussion.
But they have done it that way in the past. Talking to Mike, it is possible to do it.
Yeah, that was also with run sizes a lot smaller.
How's it determined now, the seasons? I mean,
run size and effort.
So they watch the Bonneville when they see this.
Well, they watch Bonnefills, and then they go out, and then they don't do spikes. They basically set a fishery, they set it for a bit, and they estimate. Then we do estimate of how much effort there was. You then find out how much their harvest was, and then you see how much you have still left under your take. The problem is by doing what Scott said, you might get your take done in 1 week.
You'd have to do a preseason allocation between each reservoir. So that, because different people, I'm talking for the tribes here, but different people fish in each of the reservoirs.
Yeah.
So right now, they're all able to go out. There's an amount that you're targeting in a day, and they go out wherever they fish and do it. But what you're talking about would take a preseason decision about how you allocate, okay, Bonneville Pool gets this amount of the tribal's piece, and the Dallas Pool gets this amount, John Day Pool gets that amount, and then you could schedule each pool in season that way, but without some preseason agreement between the tribes. Different tribes are in different geographic areas. They're all going to... I can't see them agreeing to that, but that's not my call. But
that's the thing. I think we're trying to identify a problem. We should broaden our horizon of our solutions. And they have direct control over
the
delivery of the fish.
Yeah, and if you want to tell the tribes how to harvest under their tree rights, please go ahead and enjoy that discussion. I'll gladly sit back and giggle.
But that's not what we're doing.
Yeah, and I'll sit back.
No, my point is, I'm saying you're asking them to say, hey, please, let's have you change your harvest to help us with a problem, and please have all your harvest right now. Trying to tell the tribes how to make their harvest?
Well, it's not now.
It's changing the harvest number.
It's Tuesday through Thursday and Sunday.
Well, it's an allocation. And so they have to, when you do the pool allocation, I mean, you'd have to come to an agreement about all of that.
Yeah.
They've already had that.
And they don't have that agreement right now. So you have allocations between the different tribes. You have allocations between
Chris Penny.
The different pools. You'd have to do all of that sort of thing.
Has joined the conference.
You don't have that framework in
place right
now.
But they must have that now because they fish.
Has joined the conference.
They fish every week for 4 days.
Are they using your...
Don't forget, that's also usually a Bonneville, John Day, the Dallas, all three pools. And they're set on certain harvests. This is a delightful discussion. Guess what? This is not the table where that discussion is taken. If this is something you guys want to tackle, I would get a hold of the TAC group and have that discussion, and they can forward it on to the tribes, and the tribes can...
Well, even the TAC group wouldn't have that discussion because...
Well, I'm saying he's got to have a TAC rep, and the TAC rep could take it to the tribes.
Well, what you would have to do is, I mean, the TAC group deals with, you know, a non-tribal tribal thing. What you're talking about is within the treaty tribes, within Zone 6,
very fair.
With allocations among them differently than what they
have joined the conference.
So you'd have to go to the tribal policy councils and bring it up there. Go for it if you want to.
Well, I see this a little bit. Like,
yeah, let me see. Who's joining us? Who's joining us?
This isn't a reaction.
On the phone?
I'm hoping it doesn't get to be a problem, but when it does become a problem, you still need a tool, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, so I just want to find out who's on the phone here. This is the Dallas split flow discussion. Who's on the phone? I heard Chris Penny. Who else?
This is Sherry Sears, Colville Tribe.
Hey, Sherry.
Hi. How you guys doing?
Good.
So
Lori is here.
Hi, Lori.
And Lori Ebner. Okay.
So, John, have you guys, and Lori's on the phone, have you guys sent money down to Erdick to get the model running?
We were getting that set up. You know, I was gone Monday and Tuesday. I haven't had a chance to talk to Lori about that yet.
Okay, I just wonder if we've already spent money.
I have not yet gotten the email that it's all set to go, but we are in the process of sending them the money.
Okay, so that's
good. I believe Natalie has the money, but I don't know that P2's been set up exactly right. But we're in process, and it will happen.
Okay. So what I... I guess at some point we're going to need DPA to tell us whether we can do the test or not. I mean, that's...
Well, we'll see what the number is. Is it 15K
a week? Somebody is talking pretty quietly, so...
Yeah.
If I ask you to repeat
yourself,
I apologize now.
No, you're quiet. You're hard to hear on the phone.
So, yeah, so I guess what I'm trying to get is I want to make sure that going to ERDC and actually doing this is worth doing. If, you know, if it's an automatic no, we're not going to do it, then this is kind of dead in the water.
No one's saying no, but we can't get carried away and go, oh, 50K for a month.
Oh, no, there's no way that's going to be the case. If you look at my... memo that I put together, just water quality would dictate that we stay probably below 30 and maybe even 25, looking at the past.
Right, and all those are going to be gag numbers, but we'll, let's keep looking at what it is.
Oh, yeah, I think we should.
Those are
move
gag
forward
numbers?
With the.
Really? Come on, guys! It's only for
150 megawatts an hour for
2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's only 2 weeks.
We should move forward with the model work.
Yeah, exactly.
And have
that
documented.
See what it is. Yeah.
So, well, I mean, but it's not 50K for 2 months.
I don't think we should make a decision yes or no on model work. Model work is a yes.
Well, it sounds like it's already going, so it's automatically a yes, you're doing it. So I just want to make sure that if we're, I just don't want it to be an absolute, why go to ERDC in August if you guys are going to say no way in hell, we're not doing any tests.
The answer is not hell no at the point. It's just be cautious as to what year comes.
Just not hell. I'm just trying to get one step at a time.
We did it last year without you even knowing.
I expected no.
Do you want to tell us why? Do you really want to go down that? No, let's not.
We don't
want
to go down there.
Let's not discuss the freedom sermons. Oh, did I say that out loud? Damn it. So the bigger
Tom, I'm quitting poking.
It's a Thursday. I'm in poking mode. The bigger question we had was, do we have tail risk data for the adults to know roughly where they are on the tail risk to know, if we can look at models, how far down do we need to have hydraulic effect to see if the adults will be there to be intercepted by that?
I haven't had a chance to dig that up.
It came out.
But
that's information. Just came out. Yeah.
The what?
Yeah. The last stuff from U of I had some information.
Yeah.
Is that the report you just sent out?
Yes.
I don't think it has the detail as to how far up.
They said they didn't know.
They cross over,
they don't have it.
But I believe we do have that detail from the early and mid 2000s work.
Okay.
And so I was going to talk to Chris about that and try to get that information. I apologize for being behind here, but Monday or Tuesday I was out and it was a huge setback.
It was mentioned in there how far downstream, I forget what it was, a kilometer or something downstream where they do the switch over from the Washington to the Oregon shore.
Yeah, I think there's a broad brush range of.
Yeah.
Spill or no spill?
That was spill.
I think it was.
We're talking a no spill
situation here, so I think they would move up closer, probably right through the Thalweg. There's no reason for them to cross if they're not being pushed across by a large amount of spill. So
I
still think they're going to
pull them right in.
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Done and done.
We're done.
The only thing is, does your side have any flexibility to put in a raise downstream to try to measure that this year? That's the only really thing that I was most interested in if we did do an RT study this year, is like determining where those fish are going and crossing, and so we can see where they can intercept. Because that's the one piece of data we really don't have very strongly, which greatly determines how much spill we think we need. Because if they cross over really close to the dam, you can probably get away with a lot less. If it's a lot farther down, you're going to need more. And that
sounds
like
it's quite a ways down.
That's the question. That was the question: is that with spill or without spill? Do we have without spill? And that's the question: is it without?
Right.
And that's probably with a lot of spill. Because in the early 2000s, that was like 64% days.
Can we get that from our steelhead if we have a raise in?
That would be the question.
Something else to answer from that study: it wouldn't be with spill, but if you want to know where they are crossing over, tag whatever fish we're going to do for the study and have a raise.
I'm kind of thinking we should look.
The problem was that we wouldn't. I talked to Chris anyway. It didn't sound like we were going to get that kind of detail out of that study.
Currently, no. But can we? Can we modify and put receivers in a location there that we could?
I don't know. I'd have to talk to you about that.
Yeah,
because
they don't have any arrays. So, RTs have arrays.
You're saying put them right at the end of the spill wall?
Yeah. Somewhere where you think it might be the turnoff.
Because they had them there before.
Well, then we might know.
Yeah, but they can't pinpoint. That was
enough. It's too broad.
Yeah, it was too broad. Yeah. They couldn't pinpoint.
Right.
So we just know that they cross over but, you know, that's where exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know why or what cues they would use to cross over when there wasn't spill, other than just moving the foul wag up and then around to the, I mean, they're not feeling the north entrance at all.
You get into the powerhouse flow, that's probably
the problem. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we know what that does through there, because we've modeled the heck out of that over the years. So I'm looking to just see if we can get flow to get to give a signature down to the foul wag. And if we can do that with the minimum amount of spill, which would be probably maximizing your gate openings without blowing out the entrance, I think that's the best you could do. And 10K might be enough. Laurie, did you have an estimate on that?
Guys, I'm sorry. You guys are breaking up pretty bad, and I'm hearing basically not a lot.
Okay, what I was asking was how much, I think you threw out, or somebody threw out, what they thought might be enough flow if we spilled in a fairly concentrated pattern to get down to the thou wag with some attraction velocity.
Well, you know, when we did a fair amount. We did a little bit of work with the 8-9 wall to try and refine the spill patterns when we had total rivers of like 80 kcfs.
Right.
Yeah, so we said, okay, well, what does it take to make something that, now our concentration there was to try and keep a steady path of flow going to the thalawag for juvenile fish. And what we found is as long as we recognize we have two good walls, so use bay 1-2, bay 3-4, I mean not 3-4, but 1-2 or 7 and 8, we get a pretty good path going down. We know the spill is going to have to be greater than about 4.5 to 5 kcfs per bay. If we spill less than that, all we do is churn it up in the stilling basin.
Right.
It just turns and turns and turns. And so the question is, how much more than 4.5 or 5 in bays 1 and 2 would it take? And then you got to be careful that you don't create too high a velocity along that.
Right.
That North Shore.
Right.
But if I were to guess before going to the model, I'm guessing you're going to want about 6 to 7 in bay 2 and about 4.5 in bay 1. And I think you will have a definite strong signature all the way down to the fallow egg.
So that may be your kind of your run at the fast light pole.
Is it 24 hours a day, or is it 18 or 16, or what's the duration?
That's a good question. I thought about that. I'd rather, of course, have 24 hours, but I think it would be more like at least 18 hours, something like that.
Do you mean an hour or two before?
You want to get before, an hour or two before, and then the duration of it is really, I don't know.
When does passage occur in the ladder?
In the ladder,
we're caring about when they enter the ladder for the attraction spill. And so that's where if you started at 5 in the morning or 4 in the morning, whatever time. Look at the bottom of the table and see.
600.
Yeah, but I mean, Gary always says extend it down so they have some time to find it and then move up it. But then by noon, they stop entering.
Right. So you may be able to stop it earlier, and that's something that we can work on.
And that. Refining it like that helps a lot.
Yeah, understand.
Yeah, you had 12 hours before, 0400 to 16, so.
Right, yeah. And that's probably what we have to work with, something along those lines. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think those fish do key on that stuff. They do migrate all day, all night. So getting them to key in on it, I'm a little worried about just cutting it off too early, or maybe not starting it early enough. So nighttime is not as big an issue for you guys as daytime. So,
well, bedtime is. That time of year. It
doesn't really matter.
There's not much water.
Yeah.
So you're losing it no matter when you lose it.
Yeah, so there's two things to think about, is how many hours and how many days, and how much, of course. But is 7 days enough to see this? Is 5 days enough to see this? Is 4 days enough to see this? I don't know.
And this means changing the 25%.
The distribution change, looking for that significant you know, which I would consider to be a 25 to 30% shift. We can't pull enough fish away then. But we know we have. We can. I mean, that's the data that I presented that to. It's pretty wild, but certainly it takes spill to pull a fish away.
What volume were you proposing?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have a volume proposed. I mean, I put in there somewhere between 10 and 30, I think.
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to do 5 again or 4.5 or whatever. Oh. It's,
you suggested 20 as a starting point.
Maybe I did, yeah. But, you know, again, it really depends on what we see in the model.
Right.
If I had to guess at it, I'd put as much as I possibly could out there. I mean,
that's where I'm getting at. If you get it for 12 hours, 20 is more doable than 20 around the clock. For sure. Yeah, if you said 10 around the clock, you double it in 12 hours.
Either. You know, again, it really comes down to what the model would tell us, I think.
Sure.
Getting a signature down there and then testing it. And if we don't get a response, then we come back and say, well, you know, do we want to do something next year that's even better? More, it works. Work your way up.
So, Gary, what about at that time fallback concerns?
Fallback concerns?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. From the dowels
for 10K.
10K
problems.
That's not going to be
no.
We're worried about fish going to the sluiceway.
Where do they exit the ladder?
On the east side. Exit the ladder mm-hmm. and on the Russian side.
Right by the north
line. Block. Yeah.
It would be
way far along.
Well, it would be 200. No.
It's not that far.
It's not that far, no.
200,
no.
300 feet.
From
the first Spill Bay.
Okay. And we're using Bay 1 and Bay 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
yeah. Yep. Just like we do all of August and all of. And every other day of the year, so I'm not sure that that's...
The volume is low, so I'm...
a little more worried about crowding than I am about fallback.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a question, but I don't think it's
showstopper.
Going to be anything to worry about that. If it's 12K or whatever we end up with, especially. So I guess that's the way I'd kind of parse this out, is let's try to do a test and see what we can come up with that works before we... beat ourselves to death over this tree idea, because that's going to go on and on and on, I think.
You said like the 25% differential, but when you look at the north ladder usage, 25% differential in the percentage of fish they actually use it, I mean, it does vary. It's this line here, sorry. This here.
Mm-hmm.
It does vary beyond 25% just naturally without any spill.
Right.
Yeah. So trying to tease that out, I think, is going to be pretty difficult.
Well, we could do it for 20 days instead. That'll get it. I mean, that's look at my graph that I've got in there. That's, it is 6% on average. After spill stops, we get a 6% passage up there. So the variability is not very variable if you get 6% passage. As an average.
Especially over the past couple of years.
4 years in a row.
Yep.
Every all the last 4 years since we changed the wall.
So it sounds like we have a couple of things. One is to get the model all sealed up so we're all going there.
Make sure you can
the
model.
25th.
Yep.
The model's it's available. The other one is looking at either a 12 or 24 hour spill test. And is it 10K to start with, to talking point, like how comfortable you are with that. The other one is the array. Can we get the arrays out there, more arrays for those steelhead that are tagged? And
so it sounds like we are pushing forward with maintaining our current study design, but maybe looking at getting some additional information on steelhead as they approach.
That's
a trade-off.
Don't blow your other study.
So we're not tagging any Chinook, right?
No.
That's what it sounded like.
Right? Yeah. I mean, what's the point?
I just don't think we're going to get much out of Chinook other than you could get the 200 fish, you could get the tail race information, yes.
Yeah, you could get that. But
you'll weaken your steelhead study by that much, too.
Yeah. I'm not as worried about that. I'm just thinking, I don't think we could tag enough Chinook. If we're only talking like 5-10 days, I don't think it'll take that many fish in that time frame to be able to get worthwhile fish.
Well, that would, you know, I mean, you would, I don't want to argue this, but
yes, you do.
But if you, you do it over a long period of time, it doesn't have to be those days. No, no, you're not trying to see a signature from those days. We'll never get that. But if you're doing a release over a couple of, well, a month anyway, let's say a few weeks of steelhead or Chinook, you will get behavior out of those fish in the tail race, if they can get the kind of resolution we need.
And that's the other question.
That's the question.
And so, yeah, along with that comes relaxing temp criteria.
Temp criteria, yes. All the stuff that I don't want to do that.
So, yeah, so if you don't do that, then we're done with your study. See if you can increase.
So the other thing is, you know, what is the biological trigger? Spill gets shut off. Is it 30,000 fish in the ladder in a professional judgment? Then we can work that out down the road. But just trying
to lay these out for the
next steps. I think the model's the big one, and then Scott's discussion back with his people.
So, how much is a GoPro camera for Bob's
300? All right. Just put it on his
size 4 and they're sticking to, I think, you know, with that.
All right.
I have a question on the model.
Yeah, shoot.
Go ahead, Lord.
What kind of river flows do you think we want to look at? How high a river flow do I need to make sure we model?
I was thinking, Lori, that we would probably just run it at, like, say, 150. Scott, do you think that? Or 80
to 150.
80 to 150. Yeah. So it's really, yeah, at 80.
You might get 150 some of the time. But
I can see, like, 80, 90, 120, 130, 150.
Yeah, I wouldn't go through too many because I think we're out of time for that. So because those are day, you know, it takes a while to shift the flow.
My thought was I'd like to have the two extremes.
Do an 80-150.
Then we can pick and choose the number in the middle.
The reason I say you need 150 is because you can actually generate enough. You have a 4-bay and you have plenty of turbines, so you can hit a flow at 150 in the middle of September.
Yeah, I would do 150 as for sure, because I think that would be probably more likely than 80. But you're right, after the first week of September, it could be.
So everything goes to the turbines, and we shape it, so it's not just what the total river flow is, it's what it is on the hours you want. Right. So we can go back and look at data and see what range we run through in a typical September.
600 or 400.
Yeah. Well, yeah, doing it, my guess would be 100 to 150.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Right. So let's check and see how high we peak during the day.
Okay. I have that. I just need to look it up. I just wanted to make sure you didn't. I wanted to make sure I at least had planned on the ranges.
Yeah, tailwater is going to matter, so that's going to be the change, the variable.
Yeah, but tailwater is a piece of cake. It's the queue that's a pain in the patooey.
So what's that?
The flow.
The tailwater is easy to change.
Yeah, no, I understand. It's changing the flow. It takes time.
Yeah, and we're not getting to the 400. Depending upon how high we go, we don't need to bring in more pumps. So if we're staying 150 and less, it's only one pump, so it's not bad.
Yeah, okay.
You probably do morning, afternoon, get two flows.
And fortunately, we don't have to wait for the 4-bay to stabilize, which will be forever.
Yeah, I think it's a 2-day test, and you do one day and one the other day.
I'm going to plan. My thought right now in laying out an agenda is because we're tying it in with the TSP trip to B2,
right,
is to have a time on potentially each end of each day.
Okay.
So at least four different scenarios to look at. So it may not be a whole lot different, and we may nail it in two, but we'll plan on that opportunity.
Probably not going to see a lot of difference here, but okay.
I don't think it will, but I think we need to show that to ourselves.
So you can get those done in 2 days, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
An agenda will not be forthcoming until July sometime.
Yeah, I hope not, because there's a lot more discussion needs to happen about this trip before we...
No, I said an agenda for the model trip, not an agenda for you guys.
No, that's what I mean. This model trip has got Ice Harbor, it's got Bonneville, it's got Fidel's, and I don't know, maybe Little Goose and Lower Granite, too. And so let's hold off on that agenda business.
Okay. I didn't know. I thought it was just TSP and...
No, it's getting real messy. I mean, right now, we can't go at all. We're done. We're not going anywhere the rest of the year.
Your travel budget's gone again.
You got one shot at this, basically? So you're flying down Sunday, coming back down Saturday?
No, I'd have to fly on my own dollar if I go.
That's awesome.
Which may be what I'm doing, but... So we have no funds, Lori, and from what I was told yesterday, we can't accept anything from your district.
Yeah, your memory's gonna be a nightmare.
Is that after you and I talked?
Yeah, we're done. We're not accepting a dollar.
Not even an invitational or figuring out some other way?
Yes, we can do that.
Okay, Lori, I'll chat with you more in the office and George, but yeah, Gary and I have been talking about some of these complications.
Yeah, and I've been working with Randy Chong too, so because the part of this is Ice Harbor, so that's why we may have to call it an Ice Harbor while we're at it, some add-on, things.
Okay, just for everybody to know, though, I will be gone from the 16th to the 30th
of August.
No.
June. Okay.
Of the rest of the rest of this month, really. Okay. Well, I see
go
this
play
is a
Yellowstone.
Great. I see this as a George Medina and maybe John to work this out.
Yeah.
As long as you've worked out the model. I mean, the dates, the 25th of August is still the same. So.
Yeah, we should push forward with the model where it was planned.
I think George can be down there the week before. So give him a call and see what his plans are.
So yeah, it's just like I said. It's so Tom, you're gonna go?
Hell no. I wouldn't be in Canada fishing.
Scott,
I hope to go.
I hope not to.
Yo.
And Bob,
I'll be thinking of you in Canada.
Maybe Dave Wills.
Maybe.
Have you gotten him down there yet?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, he went down there on a TSP trip.
He did. Be a good experience for him.
Down there.
Right.
The 25 years that I've been going down there, he's been down there twice.
At least the TSP part is in air conditioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you taking that?
Just pick up.
Are just going to be you?
Well, if we have no money.
Tammy's going.
I mean, right now, the tickets to Jackson, just so people know, are $401 as of yesterday to fly down there round trip.
That's cheap.
So if you can lock in, it's cheap. That's government.
That's great.
So, we can figure all this out.
It's still too much to fly to Jackson.
Yeah. Good New Orleans.
What are you trying to get paid to get fly to Jackson?
We're going
to
make you drive
fly
down.
To Jackson.
Yeah. Yeah, why aren't you going? Where are you going to be?
Canada. Doing violet creel sensing.
Yeah, right.
Cooler size.
Just you got to see how big the run's going to be. Mm-hmm. Someone's got to do the work. It's awful.
Keep me from getting to the Dalles, would you?
Yeah, I'm trying. See, you want me to do the harvest stuff? I'm here helping you. Yeah.
So, I'm wishing harvesting people.
There. Yeah, I'm planning to go.
Tammy's going.
If right? Tammy's going, yes. Maybe I...
No. You want John down there. If it's me or John, you want John. So
I was thinking both.
He's saying one or the other.
Oh.
Who's saying?
You. You're trying to get out of it if I go. So
well, I think you need someone from management, from O&M management going down.
I think Vern needs to go.
Whatever. Yeah, I like Mississippi, man.
It's not that bad.
No. It's miserable, but it's...
Well, standing out there in a model can be miserable.
You're going to go revisit the battlefield.
You have plenty of
sweat coming in your nose.
I'm going to go see if I can get another catfish and have it skin for me in a garage and then put on the grill and get laughed at. Like, oh, what you doing there? You don't do our catfish.
We don't eat that.
Fried.
That's why. Grill. Fried to kill everything.
Yeah, it was pretty nasty. It was a river cat.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
You were there.
I didn't eat any of it.
I've had some lunch, but
I'll drink your beer. I'm not going to eat that fish.
All right, so next steps are wrap up this map model, make sure that
the funding can get to somehow get to you guys.
Well, first, find out if you can get the model up and running.
Well, yeah.
Second, yeah. Is going to be if you can get funding to get people down there.
I think. Well, we have the funding. It's getting the
funding
way to
the people that need to get
getting it through. That's our problem. Yeah.
And then. Is it just the quantity, or you're just not taking MIPRs for any?
But they're just not taking MIPRs at all. Jeez. They said that 3 months, 4 months, or well, 3 months isn't enough time to process a MIPR.
Are you kidding me?
That's what I was told.
We have a new process that we use now. Yeah, it's one form.
I mean, it went so far as
no,
to...
No, it actually isn't.
Dirty laundry, but...
Life.
Oh, it goes to...
They redistribute. We have a cost for the cap, travel cap. All this foreign travel
crying.
Goes under that cap. Well, they decided that it was too late in order to accept anymore, and so they redistributed the cap to all the other divisions.
Shit, let's just get an RV and drive. You're a long-haul trucker from a previous life. You
don't
drive
tempt
there.
Because that means you're going to see all the bird projects on the way down.
It's all right.
You're going to be looking at every
What's
bird.
What's wrong with that?
An education by Gary.
It's on the way.
All right, that's There's another way around. We can always drive.
Over here. I know we can
get a huge van.
I can do it.
Get every Applebee's
down that way.
In every town. Yeah.
It was just in southern Arizona. So.
Yeah. It's just another 1,000 miles.
Wasn't 1 month far. Trip.
Not with him driving. Mm-hmm. He drives 28 hours straight.
We'd be there in
like 3 days to Florida.
All right, so then after the model, the money, have some discussions. Let's revisit after sometime in July here. Because that would give you time to grease the skids.
Yeah, we can get Ed's model up and running too, and get folks to look at that and the density model, look at fish capacity.
Is he available in the next few weeks to work on that thing? Or
he would be, depending on the day.
Okay.
So. Yeah. And then I think if we can get some from nearby, just get some whatever tower's information if they have.
Yeah, if they can get Kiefer or somebody to go do a kind
just
of synthesis
start up
on
his list.
Know,
so make sure Tammy gets in her notes.
That would be good.
Since Vern don't take notes.
It's pointless to have him take notes.
That is true. I've seen his note taking.
Yeah.
There's mine. There's my whole lot of them.
That's it for tuning up the day. Nice.
See, we're getting spoiled. We don't take notes anymore.
My daughter. Oh, no. She does a great job.
That's exactly why.
That's recorded.
Any other comments or needs that we need to identify here for the next one? When? When in July? Should we go with the avian task group and then have a...
Afterwards
have a quick... it's not going to be...
The avian task group is going to take no time at all, I think.
Right.
Promise me.
What's the date?
It's Walla Walla.
Second, what is it? July...
10th.
Grace
is going to be in Cancun, so...
Grand Cayman.
Sorry.
That's all right. Just make sure you get back in time for the 10th.
What do you expect it back to 6th?
I think the 9th or 10th.
Well,
9th, I don't know if
we're... We'll cover you there.
Yeah. I could be bad.
Bob will cover you.
I'll cover you.
Perfect. All right. What else?
So
that's our next meeting after the
task group.
Okay, step on.
The 10th. Here. Hopefully not this room, though.
I will go schedule the Columbia room right now, since you guys don't like the saliva, so I want to make sure you get Columbia.
The Chinook.
The Columbia.
This is the Chinook.
Yeah. I'm going to get the Columbia, unless you want to be back in here.
No.
No, I like it.
No.
Okay, John Day. Is it going to be a John Day?
We need a smaller
one. No travel.
You can't even travel. How can you go do your inspection in Bonneville? Because it's the commuting footprint?
Charge. There's no travel for
That's
that.
Ridiculous.
Just drive for home.
Sure, drive for home. Sure.
Get to the point of funding the government for travel out of my own budget.
So you can't go to Fairy Waterfalls anymore then?
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I thought the core was bad.
I think we're done here. Anybody else?
Done.
No,
I think we're good.
We're good. All right.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Thanks for calling in.
There's a lot of money for retreats.
Really?
We are now concluding this meeting.
No. High up management does.
Sent the whole damn division, 50 people, I think.
To work.
So Tri Cities for their days.
Is that when Trevor threw his back out trying to lift you up to the ceiling as a team building?
Yeah. No, I didn't know. I was working with
Trevor. So what did Trevor do? Is he doing a logging project?
T-ball.
Oh, I've got to call him again.
T-ball.
About that. That is so awesome.
Trying to hit.